You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts, Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest, Aaron Long. Tonight's episode, Rumiko Takahashi on the telly.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we are sampling a little bit of everything in the way of television adaptations. Hopefully that will be the last time I say that, of the work of Rumiko Takahashi in the company of Aaron Long.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, this is another Just Enough to Bluff All episode edition. So we were going to do Meizunai Koku and Ranma Half and Inuyasha down the line. I thought, why do them all in separate episodes? Let's do them all again. And we can watch another episode of Yuratsuhara and some stuff which isn't classic, but we'll watch anyway.
Will never be classic.
Yeah, there's one thing in particular which will never be classic unless they remake it again. Because I think it could stand another remaking and maybe they'll get it right this time. But yeah, so first off, we're going to watch we're going to watch Sit Down, wait half
this
an hour.
Let's watch it.
Last minute.
Yuratsuhara episode 44. We've discussed Yuratsuhara plenty of times before, so we're all familiar. I think we've all been on a podcast about Yuratsuhara before. The episode which was voted the best episode of the series in the end of series poll. More series should do that. Just have the final episode, have the audience vote what was the best one, and then just rerun it.
It would, I think, would cause problems because I already think this is not the best episode I've seen. So there we go.
But you only get one vote, Anthony.
Yeah, spend it well. Spend it well.
Okay, so this episode, basically, Ataru thinks Lum is leaving Earth, and despite his complaints at the start of the episode about how she's ruined his life, he becomes very sad thinking that she's going away. But it turns out she's just gone off to get her visa renewed.
I can relate to that. I enjoyed that twist.
I think the reason why I'd say this is got the best episode is I think this is perhaps the most Yuratsuhara episode. I think it's like an exemplar of what the show's like in general. And you get an Ataru being awful to Lum and having an angry rant. You get a Megane rant at Ataru and being creepy around Lum. You get the school scene. You get Mendel being sort of a faux suave because he hasn't quite revealed how much like he's Ataru at this point in the series.
Yeah, he's still pretty debonair.
Yeah. You've got Lum being underhanded with the way she spies on Ataru when she's left him behind on Earth. You've got the use of shadows just in like the style of it. It looks, this isn't an Oshi episode,
great.
But it has sort of his influence there.
There's some really impressionistic backgrounds a lot of the time, too.
And loads of background jokes lost to time. So, what did you not like about Anthony?
Well, I didn't not like it.
It just wasn't your favourite that you'd ever seen.
Well, yeah, it's a bold call to say something is, boom, that's the best episode, according to Paul. My favourite is the one we've already discussed, the one with the, is it Valentine's Day
or something? Past Christmas Eve.
That's the one, yeah.
So that's a good one too, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really like that. This reminded me a little bit of that in ways, just the emotional side, but that is my favourite. But this is good all the same. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say this is my number one favourite either. And I feel like it's a little light on comedy at some points compared to a typical episode of the show, but I would agree with the fans that it's, if you're going to pick one, it's a good one to pick.
Yeah, I say my ones probably go towards the stranger.
Yeah.
The ones, like the one with Ataru's mum losing her mind.
You would have picked that one as your number one?
I'm not sure my number one, but it's one which always comes to mind as one I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I like the one where Ataru gets the job working in the sauna.
Oh, yes. That's very different, because that's almost like it's one story, but the first half is so different to the first.
Yeah. I think possibly the reason that the fans picked this one is just because they were so focused on taking Lum and Ataru really seriously as a couple at the time, it seems like. And that may have been why they picked this one, because it just focuses exclusively on that and takes it very seriously.
But it is also good that they've remembered it from however many years before, considering.
Yeah. Oh, it is a memorable episode, yeah.
200 episodes in, and they've had a complete change of studio and almost visual style for the last half.
So when was this poll done?
Presumably in the lead up to the last episode.
Okay. Yeah, it was, what, 190, 195 or something?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, sometimes the numbers are hard to tell, because this is going by the numbers on the Animego release. But if you look on, like, the Japanese wiki, it has, like, these numbers of, like, the episode numbers, but then they've also got story numbers. And so sometimes
because of the two-parters in the beginning of the series? Yeah.
Which sometimes confuses me.
I'm pleased there's not loads of aliens in this one as well. No, there's no silly characters. Which I'm not into that kind of side.
When it focuses more on the humans, yeah.
Well, we're firmly in the Mamoru Oshii era, so there's less of the alien stuff. Because he didn't like it himself.
Good. Me and him. Best buds. But I love all that school antics. I love all the other kids at school. They're the best characters. Ataru aside, of course.
Yeah, Megane is probably next to Ataru, my favorite.
And there's like one extra stormtrooper at the start
of the party. Yeah, I was counting them in my head and going, wait, that's too many.
When I questioned that on my blog, awesome-engine.com, someone suggested, the one commenter on that suggested that it might be Junji Nishimura, the director of this episode. Who we'll be meeting again in, not on later episodes we watch, but when we talk about later series. He'll crop up again, as will Kazuo Yamazaki, who did the storyboard animation director. He went on to become the chief director of the back half of the series. And it's written by Kazunori Ito, whose name we shall hear again later on. Many, many times, I think.
I'm not sure if Ito's responsible for this, but my favorite moment is when Lum's dad complains about hearing a Ataru cry, and he says, "What a putrid noise your husband is making. I can't enjoy my tea."
It does sound like the sort of thing, because I think the thing I really like about his scripts on this, on series in particular, is he does a really good job of sort of tagging jokes. So if he's adapting one of the straight stories from the comic, he'll like add jokes, but without sort of stopping the joke which was in the comic. It doesn't ruin the joke as it was written by Rumiko Takahashi, but he sort of adds to it,
just extends it a bit.
Yeah.
I did notice, I don't know if he worked on some of the later ones, but some of the other ones felt a little bit slower in comparison, like they were sort of stretching out the same amount of story, but maybe not filling it as well.
I think for the most part he was gone once Oshii was gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Though he's back on the next series working with Yamazaki, as we shall discuss in a moment.
I'll probably bring that up again when we get to Ranma.
Yeah, I don't think he was working on that. Okay. Anything else to mention on this episode?
Why are Ataru's parents kind of so... They seem quite happy that it's just them as a family again. It's a little harsh.
His dad is the happiest you ever see him.
Yeah, he's
One less mouth to feed.
I guess so. Then they do that awkward thing where she pulls a bit of rice off his cheek.
Oh, I love that part. Just for how uncomfortable it makes it.
You just have to remember how many times Lum, or something related to Lum, has blown up their house.
Yeah.
To the point where I think, as I noticed apparently when I first watched this, probably second watched it when I was watching on the blog, is that they've got a balcony in this episode that I hadn't seen them have in previous episodes. But yeah.
I like the performance by Toshio Furukawa as Ataru in this one. He usually has a pretty good range of going from goofy to serious, but when he sounds sad here, it sounds like, pretty convincing for the character.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is having come across him in this role first. I'm always disappointed when I see him in more serious roles, and he's not really...
He does this so well.
Yeah, doing the same range when he's Piccolo.
He does it a bit as when he was Lupin that one time.
Oh, yes, he was good that... Yeah.
I thought he was good, yeah.
More times. But yeah, as Piccolo and Ace in One Piece, I was like, yeah, I mean, it's great that you're having a reunion with all your friends. They're not the best roles to get the most out of you.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good in Pat Labor as well.
Oh, yeah. Doing a pretty similar voice to Itaru.
Yeah. But a more serious character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to Mazen Eye Koku. I think, yeah, first of all, mention Urusei Tsuru episode 44 was from 1982. The series started in 81. 86, Mazen Eye Koku started. And we watched episode 1. Kazunori Ito wrote it. And Kazuo Yamazaki directed it. And everybody who's the main characters in this episode appeared in Urusei Tsuru in one way or another. So the person playing Godai was Chibi from the Stormtroopers. Kyoko also voiced Ten's mother in the few episodes where she showed up, the firefighter. Yotsuya and Mr. Soichiro the dog.
His character
is voiced by Shigeru Chiba. We'll get to that with Ranma Half, where they had to invent a character just so they could carry on casting him in things. Kemi was played by the woman who played Benten. Kentaro played Ginger, who I think is, like, if I remember correctly, they're like, there's like three of them, they're like the juniors of the older alien girls who try and take revenge on the older ones, I think, if I remember correctly. And Mrs. Ichinose, the woman who played her, showed up as the Oni commander in the first Urusei Tsuru movie. That's the one character who I can't remember at all. So in this episode, we meet Godai, who's this Ronin student trying to pass his entrance exams to a university at this dive of a dormitory called Mazen Eye Koku. The manager, landlord of the place has just got fed up with the tenants and has decided to leave, and this young woman, Kyoko, is coming there to take over. And so we meet all the characters, and then she gets to meet all the characters. And Godai kind of falls love at first sight, or lust at first sight at this point, with Kyoko. And Kyoko thinks he's a lot nicer person than he actually is, and Yotsuya, Akemi, and Mrs. Ichinose try to convince her that he's a worse person than he actually is. And it's kind of a two-part story, and I quite enjoyed this episode. I remember when I originally watched the series, I eventually got fed up with the anime adaptation, because it felt a lot slower than reading the comic.
That's I really enjoyed this. I wanted to see more.
Have you seen this before? Was this the first time?
I know I'd seen the theme song, which I loved. I don't know if I'd actually seen the show.
The intro kind of, I thought it was like Shin-chan singing it. It's got like a very Shin-chan voice to the singer. But I've never watched this because everyone says it's boring. I'm sure people have said, oh, it's dull. I'm sure it was you, Brian.
Yes,
it was probably you.
Definitely.
So I was so pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
For one episode, at least.
Yeah,
maybe
for
it
one
gets
episode.
Slower later on. Yeah.
I just remember two things about it later on. I think because I've been reading the comic as well, sort of alongside it, maybe it wasn't looking as good compared to the comic.
Mm.
And the other thing is, Godai and Kyoko will annoy the hell out of you.
Why? What they do? Or?
In both their failure to get together.
I need a get together. Sorry.
And also the way they string along two other characters in their failures to get together.
Oh, I don't know whether I like the sound of that anymore. That sounds a bit unnecessary.
Well, you have to remember, it is a Rumiko Takahashi adaptation.
That's her stock in trade. Yeah.
I don't think she has the highest view of human beings.
Is there a proper ending to this?
Yes. This is the one which has a proper ending.
I might skip around and then jump ahead to the end when they get frustrated.
I think they wrap it up in a movie, if I remember.
Well, I've just read what happens at the end.
No spoilers?
Yes.
I would love to read out this one sentence.
Okay, read it out. I don't care.
The story ends, spoilers, as Godai and Kyoko arrive home with their newborn daughter.
There you go.
So, I just read one sentence, yes. And that kind of sums up that I hope they get together. Don't know how they're, you know, I presume it's their child. But there you go.
It has the ending that people wanted her to write for Eurosize Hero and Ranma.
Yeah, she usually just kind of ends very ambiguously, which, you know, it could be the ending to any other episode.
Yeah. I think
so they don't get together in Ranma, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's no ending to Eurosize or Ranma.
Annoying.
They had like three separate things that they sort of advertised as the big final ending to Urusei Yatsura, and none of them really deliver.
No, of course not.
How do you want it to end? What's the consensus of how
about? Well, I don't particularly care.
No, I don't care either, but people who get too invested, more Ranma than Urusei Yatsura.
Which is understandable, I think.
But yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah, this was a lot better than I remembered it being. Maybe just because I wasn't annoyed at Godai and Kyoko at this point.
I loved Yatsuya, is that the guy's name?
Yeah,
the roommate who crawls through the wall and does the worm at one point.
And if I remember it correctly, it's a running gag that nobody quite knows what he does for a job.
It's like Kramer.
Yes. If Kramer was a huge pervert... it would be improved if he had just crawled through the walls, though.
And what's the deal with the dog's eyes?
Oh, is it supposed to be blind or something?
No,
I
think it's just the way. I think he's just very hairy.
Oh,
maybe.
See, I thought that, but I hope it's not meant to be blind. That's a really sad.
I doubt it. Yeah.
I hope it's
well.
Not.
He's sad enough without him being blind. I'm pretty sure he's not blind.
In the intro, there's this shot of him walking across the screen towards what's her name? His owner, the landlord, Ikioko, and it's the jankiest looking walk cycle. His arms are kind of twitching all over the place while he slides across. It's great.
Oh,
that's another one of these. Yeah, because I think all these are Fuji TV Ed, Kitty Films. This is Yosai Tsura, Maison Ikkoku, Ranma. And they've all got these Koji Nankei openings and endings.
So I really missed him once he was done with these shows.
Yes.
We got the Inuyasha.
And also once someone pulled all his music videos off the YouTube. Because Mina no Uta, I think that's the strand where you have all these animated music videos for kids. And... they get pulled regularly as soon as they go up on YouTube.
Oh.
And he did loads of them.
Yeah, his stuff is always amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Have you seen the new Gatchaman Crowds Insight opening?
Is it by him?
No, it's not by him, but I think there's bits of it where it definitely feels like they're taking a cue from him.
What was it? The Gatchaman Crowds
Insight.
What?
Insight.
Okay.
It's bits of it look like a collage like he uses.
All right, I'll look that up later.
Yes, well worth a look.
Do you not think the way in which they kind of prove Godai to be an awful human being is anyone would have looked out. Basically, they pretend that she's the Kyoko, landlady, is stripping off. Anybody would have looked out. Let me see, I'm a nice guy, and I would have looked out. I would have had a peek. But I like this too much, I think. I think I'm happy to watch one episode because I don't want to see it go rubbish.
You might like it. You may like it.
The next episode looks pretty good from the preview. I might want to see more, I think.
I'd say like most of Rumiko Takahashi's stuff is just stick with it until you stop liking it.
Yeah.
And you'll enjoy what you experience.
There's nothing to keep watching for in particular.
Yeah.
Except for this one that's the final episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
But maybe I've made that up. Maybe I've made it up about the child.
I remember showing like an episode from even like the late teens, early 20s to a friend of a friend who was over from San Diego, and within one episode she was screaming at Godai and Kyoko.
Oh.
Being so annoyed that they were unable to get together.
What, is it off the first episode?
No, not off the first episode. It was like off something, but only like 20 or so episodes after this.
Hmm.
With a rage-inducing in there.
Already insufferable. How long did it run?
96 episodes.
There you go.
Oh, it's a long time to get frustrating.
Yeah. I just remember the comic, the humor was punchier, and it didn't dwell so much on the melancholy aspects. She was always ready to undercut any moment of melancholy with a gag, whereas my feelings on the TV show is that they didn't want to stretch the gags out, so they'd stretch the sad bits out.
See, I would probably like that. I would probably appreciate it. I don't know. I'll probably never watch the rest. As much as I enjoyed seeing those guys party and keep him up from his revision.
Did you like it better than Love Hina, though?
That's a weird one, because me and Love Hina go way back, because I watched the first half, but at the time, I believe when I was torrenting it, I shouldn't have been, I couldn't get access to the second half of the series, so I never knew how it went on. Whereas what I saw, I loved. So, yeah.
I gave up on Love Hina faster than I gave up on Mason Ikoku, I'll say that.
How long did Love Hina go on for? It must have only been 26.
26 yeah. episodes and a bunch of OAVs, I think. Something like that. I think I got up about episode 8, and I was sick of all the characters.
Oh, I loved it. I loved every moment.
Also, because I thought it was a rip-off of Mason Ikoku. Which bits of it is.
Is there a blind dog?
No, but it's the dormitory and the trying to get into university. But that's more of a harem thing it's got going on top of that. Okay, moving on to Ranma One Half, a show I didn't know was called Ranma One Half for about 10 years because I was only familiar with the comic and it doesn't speak to you in the comic. This first episode is the first episode of the first season that we watched, because after 18 episodes, they gave up and then started up again a few weeks later with different directors and writers.
Did they start again from the beginning?
No. I think they carried on from
where
they'd left off, if I remember correctly.
Drastically changed?
Yeah, I think they picked the pace up a bit.
That's. I might like that better.
Yeah, I don't think it looked as good from what I've seen of it. But I think
this did look really good. Yeah. Had a lot of full animation. There was some animated camera move. It felt pretty high budget.
Yeah. So this season we watched, the first episode of, had directors were Tomomi Mochizuki, who'd done episodes of Eurosite Sura, Mason Ikoku, and one of the Mason Ikoku movies. I didn't check whether it was the finale or the one where they think they're on a desert island. And also by Tsutomu Shibayama, who was a director on Doraemon 1979 and loads of Doraemon movies. Many, many Doraemon movies and not much else. And they got replaced by Koji Sawai, who, looking at his credits, this is arguably his only big work, and Junji Nishimura, who was the episode director on that episode of Eurosite Asura we watched. And this sort of really launched the careers of Kappa Yamaguchi and Megumi Hayabashibara, who went on to do most things after that, including things in upcoming things we're talking about. And Megumi Hayabashibara, a name always looks easy to pronounce written down than me actually trying to say it. Hayashibara. Did loads of bit parts on Mason Ikoku. I think that's the only crossover on this episode. Though, as I said, later on, they wrote in a character, I believe, just so they could have Shigeru Chiba play him, this ninja-type character.
It's a good move.
Yes.
It's always a good move to bring him in.
Yes. And there's loads of other people appear as well. And in this episode, we meet... What are they called? What's their family name again? Saotome, a panda, and a girl are fighting. And the, is it Tendo, the other family?
It sounds right.
Sounds right, yes. Suon Tendo is waiting for his friend Genma Saotome to turn up with his son so he can marry one of his daughters off to him and save his dojo. And instead of his friend and his son turning up, a panda and a young girl turns up. And the young girl claims that she is Ranma Saotome. And it turns out that Genma and Ranma went training in China. You know, I've forgotten how quickly they fall in the cursed pools. This training ground full of these cursed pools where things have drowned in the pools. If you fall in the pool, you turn into the thing which drowned in the pool.
They're really asking for it. On the bamboo poles over the pool.
The guide hasn't even finished explaining what the curse is before these two idiots leap into the area and start falling into the pools. It's almost instantaneous. So then they've come here, and Akane is very peeved because she accidentally walked into Ranma when he was turning back into a boy. Because when they get splashed with cold water, they turn into what they fell into the pool of, and the hot water, they turn back to their normal form. And she thinks he's a pervert, and she doesn't want to marry him, and the other two sisters have already decided that she's the one who's going to marry him. Because she
That's
hates...
a good moment. That's a good moment.
She hates boys, and he's half a girl, so therefore it's much better fit for her.
It's good logic.
That's about the episode, because it takes a long time for all that to happen.
It does.
You think?
I thought it felt like so slow.
I thought it was like an SNL sketch. It was like, it tells you the same joke a few times, and it takes way too long, and it feels kind of gimmicky.
More so than her other stuff. Harsh. I think I was too on board with this.
It wasn't bad. It felt like it was the same sort of tone as Urusei Yatsura, but not quite done as well.
See, I've known the whole concept for years, because this is the first time I've seen this, and I've known the concept of the hot water thing and the changing to a girl and whatnot for years. It's common knowledge. Whereas seeing it, it's like, oh, this is a pretty good concept. Where she got the idea for this, I would never know. What a crazy premise! It's crazy.
Yeah, I suspect it helps her get to draw a lot of nudity, which probably went down
there
well.
There is a lot, actually. Yeah.
Probably went down well at the time. Yes, I wrote so much nudity. It seems really odd
nowadays.
Yeah, I
couldn't help but notice that too, yeah.
They'd all be covered up with shadows or steam.
Except for when they're not.
Yeah.
Akane's dad, specifically that he cries so much.
That's why I wrote down. I wrote down crying dads, particularly the bit where she walks past the two of them and they're both just sitting there crying at each other.
This wasn't bad. It was just not quite as good as the other stuff, I thought.
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt as well. Because I think I'd seen one or two episodes at conventions in the 90s, and I was always disappointed it wasn't as good as Urusei Yatsura.
I guess it was just more modern at the time, but I was always surprised that this became so big and nobody noticed much about Urusei Yatsura later on.
Yeah, it's kind of... Cause
in Western fandom, at least.
Yeah, because in the UK, we didn't have really access to the tapes unless you were importing them or getting them fan-subbed. We did get the comics. What a mainstream publisher tried to put out, like, the first volume, splitting into two cheaper volumes. And that was as far as they got. But that's how I got hooked into Ranma. And then I started buying the collected Viz volumes. But yeah, there was no way for me to see the anime, except going to conventions or importing, which I couldn't do at the time. Well, I could have done, but I had no means of playing it. But we did have Urusei Yatsura, so that was why I was more of a Urusei Yatsura fan. But yeah, Ranma was really big in the 90s, and it is the thing which, of the things we've talked about so far, is still in print, just had a Blu-ray release.
Oh, really? So I can get the entire series on Blu-ray?
Yep.
Oh, how much for? I bet it's a dirty price.
I bet it is.
I dare not even look. But I'm going to look anyway.
But yeah,
I don't know. I really, really like it. I think... I don't know. Ranma as a character, both male and female, is great.
Yeah, I think the big difference is between it and Urusei Yatsura and Mace and Ikkoku is it's very much a fighting manga and anime, as well as being a comedy. It's as much a focus on that as the comedy. Though the fights are quite often ridiculous.
People fighting pandas and...
Well, people have, like, everything can be turned into a martial art in Ranma. So you have rhythmic gymnastics martial artists, ice skating martial artists, tea ceremony martial artists.
That sounds good. I like that aspect of it.
So I take it Ranma doesn't... Like, how does it end? Does he get stuck in one form
it
or anything like that?
It doesn't end.
See, that's annoying. You're right. People should uproar. For the record as well, set one, don't know how many sets there is £28 for Blu-ray. US import.
How many episodes?
I can't... it'll be a good guide. Number of discs, 3. So I don't know how many episodes... It doesn't actually say. But it looks to be... There's at least 3 sets that I can see. So is there a set 4? No, there might only be 3 sets. So, £90, roughly. Not too bad. Oh, no, there's a 4th set.
Oh.
There's a 6th set. I'm not... It's all revealing now.
That's so good.
Whew. Added some hot water and it just got worse. Yeah, so at least 6 sets. There you go. Too expensive.
There you go. Well, you just have to start and see. And like I said, just watch it till you stop liking it.
Well, probably, to be honest, the first 18 episodes sound like a decent... If they're the better ones.
Well, they look better. They may be slower, though.
Okay. Well, as YouTube said, you found this slow anyway, where, personally, this was a breeze.
There you go.
So maybe I'm...
I think part of what I found slow about it was because I had already heard the premise, and the first episode takes a long time to set up the premise, which is understandable for a first episode. It's not really a criticism, just kind of how I was experiencing it. Like, if I hadn't known anything about it beforehand, I probably wouldn't have found this very slow.
Imagine it took 10 episodes to get to the movie.
I think it takes long enough for Ryoga to turn up. He's like one of the main characters.
Who's she? He.
He's the guy who turns into the pig.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And do you know a lot about anime pigs at the moment?
I do at the moment, yes. Episode 7, yeah, he shows up.
Is that your criticism of everything at the moment? Not enough pigs?
That's true, yes.
Trust, this pig looks...
No, actually, my main criticism is too many pigs. It's like I'll be watching something else and I'll be like, oh, god damn it, another pig.
I like the look of this pig.
Yeah, P-chan.
Oh.
Right, okay, next up. It was like a long break before we got another Rumiko Takahashi adaptation. And that
spent most of that time going to cons.
Well, yeah, though she started writing this in 96 as the comic, so they gave it 4 years before they started doing the adaptations. Inuyasha, episode 1 from the year 2000. Masashi Ikeda directs, who did Doomed Megalopolis and Gundam Wing. And Katsuyuki Sumisawa writes, who wrote for various things, including Dragon Ball, but also Gundam Wing. Because this time it's Sunrise doing the production. As opposed to Pierrot or Studio Dean through Kitty Films. And there's some Ranma crossover. Inuyasha is the voice of Ranma.
In Japanese, I presume.
Yes. Kaede, who in this episode, I think she's a continuing character as well, isn't she? She's the old lady with the eye patch. Hisako Kyoda, who played her, also played the matriarch of the tea ceremony martial arts in Ranma. In fact, she's been in every single one of these series apart from Renee, and that's not finished yet, so there's still a chance for her to get in there as well.
What, as her old lady character in this?
Or just another old lady. And Kikyo is the same voice as Akane, which is a clever bit of stunt casting, I thought, because of the relationship between Inuyasha and Kikyo. To have those two characters, those two actors cross over into these roles. And so in this episode, we meet, what's her face, Kagome?
Yep. The schoolgirl.
Modern day schoolgirl. Gets given a gem. Does she get by her granddad? Is that right?
Well, no, that's not from her. No, that's not from him at this point.
That's from him at this point, no.
But she is kind of fiddling around with these silly collectibles.
Toy gems. Yeah, that's it.
Souvenirs and whatnot.
Falls down a well. Gets attacked by a centipede woman.
Very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'd have been more interested in the human centipede films if they were about that sort of monster. falls down to the bottom of the well after costing the centipede woman one of her arms when she produced some sort of magical blast out of her hand. Climbs back out of the well and now she's in the past. And unfortunately, so is the centipede woman and a bunch of people who've tied a dog demon boy to a tree. In the start, we saw an ancestor, I guess, of Kagome pinning him to the tree.
Which is Kikyo, the...
Yeah, with a magical arrow, and he's still stuck on there. And of course, as these things go, she ends up having to release him to fight the centipede woman. But at the end...
The thing is, the gem, which gives power to demons, like power of immortality, I presume, that kind of thing, it's inside of her body.
Yes.
And she gets wounded, and she's not really wounded. Like, she obviously gets cut open, but she's fine.
And at the very start, we saw Inuyasha trying to steal that same gem from Kikyo, because he was going to use it to wish himself into a full demon.
Yeah.
Because apparently he's only half dog demon. And then I disappointedly looked up what that meant. It wasn't that he was half demon, half dog. He was half human, half dog demon.
That would have been a very different... I've seen this before.
Is the first time I've seen the first episode of Inuyasha. I think I've seen a random episode, which I did not follow in the slightest.
I saw about 2 minutes of it once or something later on.
Did you not like it?
I thought this was okay. I thought, having just watched Ushio and Tora, I thought quite similar, and I thought Ushio and Tora was better as an episode.
Yeah, I don't know
first episode.
I don't know if I'd need to see any more of this, but it was fine. I remember it being a little goofier. Does that happen later on? Does it kind of become a bit more comedic?
This is all I've seen. I've seen clips in AMVs and stuff, but this is, in terms of actual content, this is all I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. I think they've like put together your typical fantasy party, and then there's some other goofs in there. And they put a thing around his neck to make him obedient like a dog collar.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's what I'm remembering.
Oh, yeah.
I remember jokes about that.
Yeah, like scratching his ears like a dog when he puts... I think.
I mean, this has those stuff as well, where she first sees him and...
Yeah, but he actually goes on all fours and kind of...
I know, but the first thing she wants to do is touch his dog ears.
I really like this. I really, really like it. I liked it back when I first seen it, but like everything else, I put it to one side and never watched it again. He's got a brother who shows up later on and he's a badass. It's more fighting than...
Yeah, and isn't there a lot of...
At least at the moment.
Anime original stuff, because the comic wasn't finished to the point where they had to restart it years later to do a proper ending.
I'm not entirely sure, but that would... Yeah, I guess. I like this, though. I can't... At this point in time, I don't think I've got a favourite of the episodes that we've watched. Because they're all pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by all but one of them. Well, not pleasantly surprised. Some of them I knew were good, but some I was pleasantly surprised by.
One of them I forgot to watch. So I think I may have forgot to watch the bad one. I'm so sorry in advance, guys. I've just looked at the list. I thought, I don't remember watching that.
Scoundrel.
I think I've avoided the bad one.
I think you have, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So I'm in no hurry to watch any more Inuyasha. I feel there's plenty of things which do that sort of thing better.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of them's airing at the moment. Yeah, have you watched that first episode of Ushio and Tora, you two?
No.
I've not yet.
Oh, check it out. It's very 90s in a good way. It's like, let's not pretend this is based on a modern comic.
Yeah, it's ready to watch, but it's not. I've got to see, if I had the time... I would watch Inuyasha. I would watch it all, but I don't have the time.
Okay, next up was episode one of Rumiko Takahashi Anthology, or Rumiko, or Rumik Theatre, rather. Now at TMS for these productions, and in this particular episode, we have the director is Toru Kitahata, who did about five episodes of Big O. Genki Yoshimura wrote it, who was the head screenwriter on Digimon Adventure 2. And storyboards were by Akira Nishimori, who was also the series director. And this is a anthology show, as given the clue in the name. So it's like a different short story each episode. And this one is The Tragedy of P, where a family who live in an apartment block where they can't keep pets are forced to look after the husband's colleague's penguin for a week and have to hide it from Mrs. Kakai, who's the fussy neighbour and is head of this committee, who keeps on throwing people out of the apartment block for keeping pets.
Rules are rules.
Exactly. And that's the one bit of stunt casting on this episode is Megumi Hayashibara. I pronounced it correctly. Is Mrs. Kakai. And if you look through the cast list, each episode, I think, has got about at least one actor from a previous Rumiko Takahashi show on it. So what do you think of this? I've seen this plenty of times, having done a panel on penguins. Anthony.
I'll go. I'm pleased it's a different story each episode. Not to say that this isn't a good story and I don't want to see any more of it because of that, but because it's nice and confined. It's hilarious. There's some bits in this I watched it late last night. I was laughing out loud. It's really, really funny. Just the idea of hiding this penguin from other people in the apartment block is great. It's brilliant.
How are you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I was surprised at how mundane this story was. It was so low key and realistic, sort of. I was a little put off at the end when there's that really long panning shot when she takes the penguin out for a walk, and it's about 2 minutes where it pans up to outer space and then back down to the ocean, then back to outer space. And then it starts spinning around the woman and the penguin.
It is very strange.
I quite like that, particularly when it comes back and they're both dancing.
Yeah. I like the dancing.
I like when they dress the pig as a child. The penguin.
The penguin
is like a child at the end.
Costume, yeah. And the scarf.
It's lovely.
And when they meet Mrs. Kakai at the lift, she does not say a word.
Yeah, this was pretty good. I did like the anthology component to it, yeah. The fact that it's just one and done for each of these
makes it
a little tempting to see some more.
Yeah, this is the only one I've seen because I figured it couldn't get any better than this episode. Though I am curious about some of the characters in the opening and ending credits.
The dog with the big eyebrows.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was wondering about the credits. It seems like maybe these are all somewhat intertwined because there's a guy in a giant rabbit costume in the end credits, and he's in the background of the episode, too.
Ah, maybe they... I don't think they're intertwined from the original comics, but maybe they did it like a little...
Oh, just cameos?
Yeah,
in the
sort of thing.
Mm. I was dying with laughter where she tells her son, don't tell anybody about the penguin. And the next day, every kid from school is in the house. All these shoes are stacked up at the door. It's a lovely little story. I mean, I want to know what happens in other episodes, obviously. If I could get this as a box set, it's only 12 episodes, surely.
I was going to say, it did get a release. It's out of print at the moment, but I suspect it might be quite cheap.
I've never heard of it either. It doesn't seem like the kind of thing people talk about in the same way as everything else that we've talked about.
No, both this and the next one, I think, kind of got overlooked. Maybe because... Was Inuyasha? No, I think Inuyasha finished 2002, didn't it? So maybe Inuyasha just burnt people out on Rumiko Takahashi at that point.
The next one's so overlooked that I didn't even watch it. I apologise for the people who did, because it sounds like they didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, so the next series we watched was the first episode of Mermaid Forest, which this is the first I knew of it, researching this episode, is that this is the season 2 of Rubik Theatre Anthology.
Oh.
So it finished, and then I think either straight away or a week or so later, this started up. And they didn't even manage to put all 13 episodes on air.
Oof.
I think I liked season 1 better.
So this is directed by Masaharu Okiwaki, who apparently his big works are Lupin the Third, Dragon of Doom, and Kirarin Revolution. Your guess is as good as mine on the last one. and the writer is Miyashita Hayabusashi, maybe? That was Google Translate doing it, because they haven't even got a page on Animated News Network. But they wrote some Lupin the Third Part 3 episodes and all sorts of Conan stuff. So they're TMS bots through and through. And it's got some crossover casting. The two main leads, Yuta is the same voice as Ryoga Hibiki and P-Chan from Ranma. And, of course, Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop and various other things. And Mana is the same voice as Nabuki Tendo, the middle sister from Ranma. And this first episode involves Yuta, who's this 500-year-old man who ate the flesh of a mermaid and became immortal. He's trying to find a way to undo the mermaid's curse so that he can live his life normally and get old and die. And he comes to this village where he hears there might be mermaids. Instead, he finds a bunch of women in various age groups who all look identical. The first group he finds are a bunch of old women who stab him through the chest quite incredibly violently, which took me by surprise.
That really shocked me, yeah. I did not see that coming.
And then chuck him in a pit. And they're basically raising this girl, Mana, and it turns out they fed her mermaid flesh as well, because they're mermaids, and every so often they raise a child, and once they're in there, mid to late teens, they eat them and then they take on their appearance and become youthful again, which is why there's all the different chunks of ages amongst these mermaids of different who all look identical. And Yuta manages to get away with Mana at the end, and we learn a bit more about the mermaid mythology, about how you can either turn immortal, you can die, or you can turn into one of these monsters called lost souls.
Oh, did you watch a sub or the dub?
This was the sub, I think, I watched.
Okay, I think I saw the dub, and they were called the Deformed Ones and
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah.
They were pretty creepy looking, but also kind of funny.
Yeah.
If this is an anthology, is the next episode a completely different story?
No,
I don't think this is an anthology.
No, it kind of is, because I think it goes through different periods of these two in time. So I think they're
this sounds good.
Oh, that's actually an interesting concept.
Yeah, the story's great. The execution is piss poor.
Yeah.
But how is it so bad? Because
it's just badly animated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even though the story is kind of interesting, it's a bit of a chore to sit through it.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it could do with it's had an OAV, which didn't complete the entire adaptation. I think perhaps she hadn't written it at the time. I think it was one of these. If I can remember correctly, it might have taken a very long time for her to complete the full story. So one of these things she kept on coming back to. I could be wrong on that point.
Deserve a remake, because it's got promising material.
Yeah. So that scene where he just gets stabbed out of nowhere, and there's like no clue it's coming. He's just having this conversation with these old ladies.
You don't know he's 500 years old or anything at that point.
Why did they stab him? What's their reasoning?
Because we might find out their secret.
Oh, okay. Yes, I mean, I'm pleased you watched it and hated it, and I don't have to, but if you just told me the premise... But from the premise, though, it sounds...
Yeah, it's not really, hate, it's more like a disappointment, I think.
Yeah.
Particularly after watching the other stuff around it. And particularly once I knew that was the second series of the anthology thing, I was like, why couldn't it have looked as good as that did?
There was some, this was disappointing, I guess.
Yeah, so...
It's funny that I didn't watch it. I don't understand how I overlooked it. I just apologize for...
Don't worry about it.
Ill preparation.
You dodged a bullet. Looking at it that way.
I did the same with Azumanga Daioh. What's your thoughts on that?
I've never seen it. I don't know anything about it, other than the episode that you guys did. Or that Brian did.
Me and Grace did, Anthony disappeared.
That was an unintentional disappearance. That wasn't intended to avoid watching it, because I need an excuse to watch it.
Grace came down from a mountain for that episode.
And I couldn't even be bothered to watch it. No, one day. One day.
Okay, moving on to something super modern, still running as we record. Is it Rinne or Rin? He's pronounced Rin in the type, but it's written Rinne, isn't it?
Rinne.
His name's not hasn't got the hyphen in it, so...
Yeah.
And now we're at Brainspace producing with Seiki Sugawara directing, who did Defrag. I have no idea. Did you watch an episode of Defrag, Anthony? I think
that
it might.
That name rings a bell.
I think it was on one of your I'm going to watch this lists.
So. I'm much better at doing that now. I actually do watch. Defrag, why does that ring a bell?
It's quite recent. And the writer is...
Oh, that was never on my list. I'm looking at that now. Oh, maybe it was, actually, when I looked at it. Either way, go into Google Images and you'll...
Now you've looked at the synopsis.
Understand the humor.
Michiko Yokote did the writing, as she does on most things these days. It's a good job that she might be three people. The amount of work she does. It's like, there's written on Wikipedia that she's three people, but that might just be a joke that she made once. But at the same time, you can't find any photos of her either. When I was looking up pictures of her, all I got was pictures of a cat, which she was using as her photo in an interview. So she worked on later episodes of Ranma, and as far as I know, she's a protege of Katsunori Ito, who wrote the Eurosight Sewer episode we started with, and she started work on the Pat Labour novels is where she got a start, as far as I know. And in this, as it's so modern, we have actors who are too young to have been in previous adaptations. So our two main characters are Rin, who's played by Kaito Ishikawa, and when I looked at his Anime News Network entry, it's like most of his roles are in bold. So he's, everything he seems to be in, he's one of the main characters. Most of the things I haven't seen. But he is going to be Genos, or Genos, in One Punch Man.
Whoa! Hype.
When's that coming out?
October, I think. Ooh. And Sakura, who's the female lead, is Marina Inoue, who played Yoko in Gurren Lagann, Amane in Hunter x Hunter. You remember which one that one is?
Is she one of the... the spider. My gosh, I love Hunter. I can't remember. Let's have a look at her.
She is one of the butlers for the Zoldyx.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. She becomes a main character, or at least starts.
Yeah.
To become a main character. Yes,
as much as you can in Hunter x Hunter, and dozens more roles I've not seen or can't remember. But there is one actress in this first episode who was old enough to be in a previous adaptation, and that is. Satsuki Yukino, who plays, I'm not sure if she gets a name in this episode, Tamako, the old lady at the start, who tells her not to call her an old lady.
Okay.
And she was Kagome in Inuyasha. And she also had a bunch of roles in Rumic Theatre. So we're back to Spirit World in Rinne. And so at some point... This girl, Sakura, who's now in high school, developed the ability to see ghosts, as we see in a flashback, but a flashback that's not really explained.
Yet.
Mm. And then one day, the boy in her class who sits next to her, who hasn't been to school for the entire year, suddenly shows up, but only she can see him. And then she sees a giant chihuahua. Who then swallows him and wanders off. But then the next day, he actually comes into school and everyone can see him. And it turns out he is a Shinigami sort of thing, as he says. And he helps restless spirits pass on to the other side, or takes care of them if they become evil spirits.
And he's going to be the son of the woman from the first scene. That's my prediction.
It's not the son, but yeah, there is a relationship.
Oh, okay. Oh, do you actually know what happens?
Yeah, I'd looked up. I'd look up who was playing who, so that means I've got descriptions of who the characters are.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't care, Anthony. So.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah, so he's got this magic, what's he called it? Hokai, the coat he's got.
Oh.
Howri.
H-A-O-R-I?
Yeah, that's it. Howri of the Underworld. And he's obsessed with the price of all the items that he has to
get. I like that running gig.
And I like that they're all like really cheap, that they would be like the donations you'd give.
It was 500 yen or something.
Yeah.
For the,
Yeah, she's got 1,500 yen and he thinks she's super rich. And this was so much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. This was pretty fun. I really liked the chase at the end with the Ataru-like spirit
yes.
character. Especially when it combined with the Chihuahua. Two best things about the show come together.
And that's where you get a clue as to what might have happened to Sakura in the start. Because they go into like this spirit realm.
Is it Rin Noir or something?
Isn't that like the big ring that they go to?
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's like this big ring in the sky, and at the start, the character who will eventually be called Tamako tells Sakura if she goes to there, she can't come back.
So yeah. I'd already seen this because I watched it when
it
we
started.
Did the yeah. I only got one episode deep. I don't dislike it, but like everything else, there's other things to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's entertaining. It's a little sad. Like they kind of the whole idea with the kid who was on his way to the gym. Getting killed by a plant pot falling on his head and...
I don't know. It's kind of sad, but it is kind of undercut by the
There is a good job there to make it a little bit
We should
bit
say
like
that, the core story of this first episode is that one of Sakura's classmates keeps on getting a phone call saying, come to the back of the gym at 4 o'clock. And so Rin sets up this myth that if you put a donation... in an abandoned equipment box that someone will come and deal with your problems. And so she does that, and then he decides to investigate, and they find out that it's a ghost of this kid, yes, who died when a plant pot landed on his head. And the teacher, who has the...
he is brilliant.
He has the Star of the Giant's eyes that Rumiko Takahashi likes to take the mickey out of. he was the friend who was supposed to bring back this guy's gym kit or his tracksuit.
Because it was given to him by a girl in his class.
But yeah, so they sent him to the other side by finally giving him his tracksuit back. And he can reverse the coat and put it on a ghost so that the living can see the dead. Which I thought was a clever idea as well.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that the teacher had been getting those phone calls.
I know, yeah.
So he cancelled the number.
Yeah. It's a look on his face when he reveals that as well.
He's so proud of it.
Yeah. I cancelled the number straight away.
That's a Seinfeld episode as well, I'm sure.
And Renee wants to keep the tracksuit as well, and he's covering over the little embroidered part of the tracksuit. So she's like, aren't you covering the name? And he's really sad to give it up. But he cries tears of blood, in fact.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. I liked how pathetic he was. It's nice, because usually this kind of characters seem pretty suave, but every time he does something cool, he does something stupid to balance it out.
Yeah.
Also, I do like him. He is a very likable character, actually.
Despite being more firmly a comedy, it makes more sense than Bleach does in terms of dealing with the same subject matter. Because I can't understand Bleach's afterlife in the slightest. But this one makes sense. So far. And you've got all those characters in the opening credits who look interesting and entice.
That lady who gives everybody noogies.
Yeah.
And
so will you be watching more of this, do you think?
I might do. I might put it on occasionally. It's in my queue now, so... That doesn't mean anything, but it's one step closer to being watched.
The fact that it's on Crunchyroll makes it kind of tempting, rather than having to find each episode.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's another yokai show. Yokai call at the moment.
Yokai.
I just imagine people just searching through what they've got access to. And has it got yokai? We've got to get another yokai show on the air.
A yokai that big at the moment?
Got to get some of that yokai money. Yeah, I think it goes and swings around. I think it was kind of at the early 90s as well. Because you had Ghost Sweeper Mikami, Hell Teacher Nube, Ushio and Tora, and then Inuyasha kind of at the end of that period. So, yeah, I think you get these, like, mini yokai booms. Who knows? Maybe it had nothing to do with Yokai Watch while they decided to produce Ushio and Tora as an anime. But it's hard to think of another reason.
So Yurusei Yatsura aside for you two, obviously you're going to pick this as number one. What is the pick?
I think I'd watch more episodes of Rinne at this point.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I've watched enough Maze Naikoku and enough Ranma. And Inuyasha didn't really catch my eye that much. And Rumiko Takahashi Anthology, it's like, well, it's been 12 years. If I was going to watch those other 11 episodes, I'd have done it by now.
Aaron?
I think probably Maze Naikoku. I don't know if I'm going to watch every episode, but I'll probably check out one or two more.
See, the thing is, I'll say I'm going to watch some, and I never will. <I'll> start, in theory, I will watch all of them, but in practice...
You'll probably watch some more Yurusei Yatsura films at some point.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Because we're probably doing them for the podcast.
Can't decide. Maybe a new Yasha for me. It appeals to my... You know, it has fighting in. Actually, no, Ranma one half.
I was going
to
say,
you seem to like that one a lot.
Yeah. I'm a little bit in love with the female Ranma as well.
I was surprised her voice was so high. I thought it would be more like Ryunosuke from Urusei Yatsura.
Yes.
Where it sounds a little boyish, but it's so exaggerated and high.
Well, I watched the English dub. So I'm trying to think whether they had a more boyish... sound. I think they did.
Yeah, I figured she would be sort of a tomboy, but
yeah,
not in the Japanese version.
I'd have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it had a more boyish tone to it.
Yeah, maybe it's something in the syntax that she's using in Japanese. Maybe that makes her sound more boyish than the actual tone.
Of all these big kind of recap things we've done, is this the most consistent with good stuff that we've done? I can't remember.
Could well be, yes.
I'm trying to think about what we've done. And
I like these more than the Leiji Matsumoto ones in general.
Yeah, but the thing is, the ones that were amazing in that were pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is probably more consistent.
Yeah, it was more consistent for you because you didn't watch Mermaid Forest.
Yeah, I got the sweet deal.
Yeah, I'm still, I'm not so much bothered that it was so bad. I'm just confused how it was so bad coming off something which was pretty good.
Was it all the same staff?
I don't think it was any same staff. That may have been part of the problem. But yeah, it's just kind of bewildering. Anyway, so I've got a game for you now.
Brilliant.
What could you watch? So, in this game, I'm going to give you a name of a show that you could have watched instead of one of these shows we just talked about the week they originally aired.
I think I've got where this is going.
So, I'm going to give you a name of a show, and then you give me which one of these shows we just talked about.
Oh, okay.
You this should be easy.
Instead of.
This should be really
it
easy.
It should be really easy. Yes.
Especially for the Rene. God. Like, you know, that's a month old.
Let's find out how easy it is. Let's start with Aaron. Hamtaro.
I would say Inuyasha.
You are correct.
Oh, well done. So now Inuyasha is off the board, or can it...
It can come back.
Oh, now that is... Now that's hard. Okay.
Anthony, Mobile Seat... Mobile Seat.
Mobile Seat Gundam.
If only. Mobile Suit Gundam Double Z. Or is it?
Double Z. Was that older than Wing or was it not? Was that older than Wing or was it not? I'm going to say the anthology, Rumiko Takahashi anthology.
No, Maze Naikoku.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh. Aaron, Granzort.
Never heard of that. I'm going to say Urusei Yatsura.
No, Ranma one half.
Oh.
Okay, back to you, Anthony. Jewel yes. Pet Magical Change.
Oh, there's been two. Mermaid Forest.
No, Rinne.
Oh, damn.
Okay. It's currently airing. Okay, back to you, Aaron, for Space Cobra.
Urusei Yatsura?
You are correct.
Because that was 83, right?
Yeah, 80. Well, that was 82, yeah. So,
oh, okay.
With that particular episode, yeah. I think there may have been other Cobras airing when some of these ones are, but Space Cobra specifically was that one. Okay. Anthony, Cinderella Boy.
The Anthology.
You are correct.
Yes!
I picked that because that also has a sex change gimmick. Except in that they are actually changing minds as well. It's a man and a woman end up sharing the same physical space for 12 hours a day. Okay, back to you, Aaron, for Jushin Liger.
Oh, no idea. Mermaid Forest?
No, Ranma one half.
Oh.
Okay, Anthony. Hajime no Ippo.
Either 86. Oh, could be all the Maison Aikoku.
No, Inuyasha.
Oh!
Whoa.
I thought that was going to be way earlier.
No. Started in 2000. Okay. And last one for you, Aaron. High School Kimengumi, or, as it's also known, Funny Faces in High School.
Maison Aikoku?
You are correct.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And Anthony, last one for you. Avenger.
Is there a subtitle to that? Is there?
No, I think it's just called Avenger.
Oh my god, I've never heard of this. Could be at any point in time.
I would describe it, but that might give you a clue.
Oh, if that's the case, I'm going to go mega. I'm going to say Urusei Yatsura.
No, Mermaid Saga.
Oh. Why would I give it a clue? What could you have
Mermaid
said?
Forest. I think it's a shitty B-train show.
That era.
Yeah, so that would have given you a time period.
Let's have a look at this. Avenger.
Yeah.
Oops, I'm just typing the wrong place.
I think it was as forgettable as it was, as you forgot it. It's set in a post-apocalyptic colonized Mars. Yes, it's Koichi Mishimo directed. Another one of the shows where you think, you directed Dirty Pair. How did you get so bad?
Oh, Avenger looks terrible.
Yeah. And that's
I'm still trying to find it. All I can find.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be hard to find.
Avenger, B-Train, anime, and all that's coming up is Robert Downey Jr.
I put 2003 in. That might help.
There you go. Okay, Aaron, you got 3 points. Anthony, you got one. So not as easy as you suspected.
All right. Yeah.
The problem was getting shows which didn't cross two shows. One point I had Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, but it turned out that Dragon Ball Z started a week later than Ranma. So technically Dragon Ball ran across both Maze Naikoku and Ranma.
So by definition, these had to be like forgettable shows that didn't last very long.
Yeah, my tiebreaker was Super Dimension Fortress Macross, though.
So. Oh, okay.
Is that Ranma one half?
No.
Oh.
You're a size zero.
A bad clutch. Try and claw a point back or a fake point back.
It'd still be a point short.
Yep. Oh.
Okay, anything you want to plug, Aaron?
I'm working on another cartoon. It's just a personal thing I'm doing myself. It's called Sublo and Tangy Mustard, and it should be out the first episode, at least in the next couple of months. So that'll be on YouTube and Twitter and Tumblr and all kinds of places.
Which YouTube? Your YouTube?
Oh, YouTube.com.
Okay. I want you to focus on your YouTube. Or, you know.
Oh, it'll be on mine, yeah.
Dynamite in the Brain you can find at dynamiteinthebrain.com, unsurprisingly, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so that more people can find out about the masters of the podcast martial arts that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'd like to plug Google Calendar.
Yeah, I hope some of our occasional guests would pay attention to that plug. So they would confirm that they're coming on the show.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain.